Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the words of John chapter 14. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that these words would bring us life today. Amen. Have you noticed that there's been a shift in the last few weeks in the things we've been talking about? 2 weeks ago, I was generally talking about how are we getting on under the experience of lockdown. We were talking about how long our hair was, or the size of our beards, or which Netflix series we had been binge watching. It was all about getting through lockdown. Now that some of the restrictions have been lifted, the conversation has shifted to learning to live with COVID-19, the experience of going back into the classroom, what it's been like going into the office, what it's like wearing a mask around town. I think for many of us, we're trying to imagine what it's going to be like going forward. I'm speaking for personally, I find lockdown not too challenging. If anything, I've enjoyed parts of it. But this next phase, the phase of living and learning to live with COVID, this is more unsettling. I think at the heart of this sense of being unsettled is the fact that I cannot plan with confidence. Things are unpredictable. Things are fluid. By the time we have reached the second half of John 14, the disciples are reeling from the news that there's a betrayer among them, that one of them, Peter, will deny Jesus, and to top it all, Jesus will be leaving. Their time with Jesus is coming to an end. These disciples are facing suddenly an unknown future. What will it look like in a world without Jesus? What will happen to them? Suddenly there are so many unknowns, so many uncertainties, so many questions, so few answers. But instead of giving them a strategy for the future, instead of giving them a plan for the next 3 years, Jesus instead offers them a person. Instead of a roadmap, he offers a fellow traveller. Instead of a strategy, he offers them relationship. What does this passage teach us as we journey into a fluid and uncertain future? What Jesus offers his disciples in John 14 is exactly the same in terms of what he offers us. He offers us the Holy Spirit. John 14 is topped and tailed by a very similar statement. Do not let your hearts be troubled. We see that in verse 1 and in verse 14. Verse 24. And to these troubled disciples, Jesus now begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit and what will he be for his disciples? And I want to share with you just two thoughts today, that the Holy Spirit reminds me that I have a secure base. And the Holy Spirit is turning me into the best version of me. The Holy Spirit reminds me that I have a secure base. The Holy Spirit is turning me into the best version of me. So let's think about that first one. The secure base of being loved. George Kohlreiser is a former hostage negotiator. He is now a leadership and management consultant. Based on his experiences as a hostage negotiator, he wrote a book called Hostage at the Table, describing how all of us can feel hostages to circumstances as well as people. In his book, he talks about being a secure base leader. That is, a leader who inspires security, inspires trust, who inspires confidence in others. But in order to be a secure base leader, the leader themselves needs to have, guess what? A secure base. In fact, it would be fair to say that in order to move forward in any area of life, in work and relationships or whatever, we all need a secure base. I want you to note in our passage the great emphasis on loving, solid relationships, relationships that are deeply committed. Earlier on in the chapter, we see that described between Jesus and his Father, the loving, solid, deeply committed relationship between Father and Son. Now we see that same relationship being described between Jesus and his disciples. And so we read Jesus saying these things: I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And not only do we see that between Jesus and his disciples, but we see that between the Father and the disciples. So we read things like, on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We read, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And again, my Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Do you see the picture that Jesus is painting here? He's painting this picture for his disciples of a secure base of solid, loving, deeply committed relationships. Perhaps for a moment you can imagine Jesus standing in front of you, speaking these words to you personally, one-to-one. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to you personally? Clive, I will not leave you as an orphan. Mark, because you live, because I live, you will live. John, you are in me, and I am in you. Alison, you are loved by the Father. Patricia, we have come and made our home in you. Can you imagine Jesus speaking those words directly to you? You might be asking at this stage, okay, that's beautiful, but what's the role of the Holy Spirit in all of this? Jesus describes the Holy Spirit using the Greek word parakletos. The first part of that word, para, means coming alongside, parallel. The one who comes and walks alongside us forever. Kaleo means to argue on one's behalf. It's this idea of having a legal advocate who represents you, who's for you, with you to the end. And if you've ever found yourself in court, you will know the value of having a lawyer who is really on your side, who believes in your case, who's arguing on your behalf, who's defending you against your enemies. And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us, who walks with us, who's for us, who's defending us against our enemies. Perhaps the greatest challenge we are facing right now isn't so much an unknown future, but rather the enemy in our hearts and our heads called fear. Fear has a very powerful voice. Fear can carry great influence in our lives. But as fear shouts in my head, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, comes alongside me and begins to argue on my behalf against fear. Now just think about Romans 8, how the Apostle Paul describes his experience of the Holy Spirit in his life. Do you remember these words? The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you into adoption as sons, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies, there it is, argues with our spirit, with our heart and head, that we are God's children. So I think about my unknown future. I experience fear rising. I say, come, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, comes alongside. And he says, Clive, remember who you are. Remember who loves you. You are your father's adopted son. You are not an orphan left alone to fend for yourself. Your Father in heaven loves you. Nothing can separate you from his love. You see, the Holy Spirit reminds us of our secure base from which we are to live. He argues against our fears, and he reminds us that we are loved. So the Holy Spirit reminds us of our secure base. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is that he's turning me into the best version of me. He's turning me into the best version of me. At the beginning and at the end of our passage, Jesus says two very similar things. You can see it there in verses 15 and verse 23. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's verse 15. And then verse 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. I want you to notice that even as the disciples are facing an uncomfortable future, even as the disciples are reeling from such difficult news that Jesus is sharing with them, that even now Jesus is calling them to a different way of living, a different way of being. He is calling them to discipleship, to apprenticeship, to being shaped, to being molded by him, by his teaching. Now, why would Jesus do that? Why is the disciples' discomfort not only a time of comfort, but also of calling? Why would he remind them that love for him is expressed not just in songs, but in a formed life, manifested in a transformed life, a life that goes on learning of him? And I think the answer is this, that either I will shape my future or my future will shape me. Either the values and the patterns that Jesus has taught me will shape my going forward or my future will shape me. If I am shaped by Jesus, if I am shaped by his calling to humility, if I'm shaped towards an interdependent life on him, shaped by his meekness, shaped by a life hungering and thirsting after righteousness, shaped to become a merciful person, someone who is pure in heart, someone who is a peacemaker, somebody who is resilient and persevering and enduring in the face of hardship. If I'm shaped by his call to love my neighbour, to do good to those who harm me, to valuing all life, to conception to the grave, to faithfulness in relationships, to the resisting of revenge, to loving my enemies, to treasuring heaven above material wealth, to seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. If I am shaped by those things, then I will become a person who shapes my future and not the other way around. So to love Jesus, to keep his commands, and notice that love and obedience are held together, means that I stand to meet an unknown future, that I stand in a place where I have the power to shape that future rather than be shaped by it. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables me to love and obey Jesus. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the one who will remind me, as this passage says, of all the things that Jesus has taught. And let's be honest, that is sometimes quite uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable, in fact, especially in the face of temptation. I have no doubt that lockdown has brought its own set of unique temptations. It's revealed certain vulnerabilities in all of our lives. Temptation is that power that wants to undermine the best me. The temptation is that power that wants to push me away from the best me that I can become. And at times of temptation, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, will come alongside. And sometimes that coming alongside us is in the shape of, and this might sound strange, in the shape of opposition. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we'll think about the friend of an addict who intervenes, who confronts, who opposes action that will ultimately be destructive. Sometimes the Holy Spirit argues against us, rather like a faithful friend does to someone that they love and who they can see moving towards a destructive path. Tim Keller says that the Holy Spirit at times is against us because he's for us. Why? Why does the Holy Spirit do that sometimes? Answer, because the Holy Spirit will not stop until we become the glorious person we are meant to be. Being a Christian, being a disciple, being an apprentice of Jesus is not the easiest life choice. There are times when the Holy Spirit is pushing me back towards Jesus and away from where I might want to go. And that's not comfortable. But imagine this. Imagine this for a moment. Imagine what it will be like to become like Jesus. To one day to think like Jesus, to respond like Jesus, to be wise like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to have our emotions flow like Jesus. I want to remind you this morning that that's where you are going. That's the path that you are on. Right now, you are being molded by the Holy Spirit. Right now, the Holy Spirit is at work in you, turning you into the best version of you. So as we come to the end of this passage, what can we expect as we walk into an unknown future? Well, we can expect a secure base. You are loved. The Holy Spirit will remind you that you are loved, that your Father in heaven loves you, has adopted you, has welcomed you home, has swept you up into his arms is embracing you as the daughter, as the son whom he loves. You have a secure base. And you are being turned into the best version of you. That the Holy Spirit is coming alongside you, yes, and at times uncomfortably pushing you back towards Jesus. But be encouraged this day. Because he's doing that, you will shape your future. Your future will not shape you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of John 14. I pray that these words would have brought us life this day. We pray, come, Holy Spirit. Amen.